In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation this morning. And as always, it's great to be with you. So we like to start off our conversation every morning. As we can see in the background in our studio here, a beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe as well as Our Lady of Fatima. We like to start off by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary. Let's say the prayer together and invite Mary to be with us during our family conversation. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual guide. Our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. He also has many wonderful titles, among which are the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known, as we pray in the sequence, He is the sweet guest of our souls. And St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of joy, and that the interior fire of the Holy Spirit would burn within our hearts. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So given that we're family, I would like to start off by offering my prayers for all of you. I'll offer my prayers in what I like to call Opus Dei. Opus Dei means the work of God. And every day is celebrate the Mass, and sometimes even two Masses. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar for the Mass that I'll be celebrating this evening. And I'll offer these intentions. First would be that all of us would make a real concerted effort on a daily basis to grow holy. All of us are called to become saints. Our Lord commands us, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. And as Leo Blois said, that the biggest tragedy in our life would be not to become the saint that God has called us to become. Matthew Kelly says we should try to become the best version of ourselves. And holiness attracts So let's pray that we would all pursue a life of holiness. Second intention, I'd like to pray for your family and your children. Over the past couple weeks, I've been praying especially for your children with related to their schooling. Unfortunately, many places there's a liberal agenda that's promoting a certain transgender program, which is diametrically opposed to the Bible, the Word of God, natural law, common sense. I would even say, related to the gospel today, it's diabolic. So you as parents, it's incumbent upon you as the first teachers of your children to watch over your flock. To watch over your flock. And I've mentioned in past talks, you know, consider possibly homeschooling or a good Catholic school. Or if it's a public school, then you have to do weeding. Ask your children what they were taught in school, and you have to pull out the weeds, which is very tiring and frustrating. But we have to be honest, this is the world in which we live today. I honestly would think seriously about homeschooling. Just a couple of days ago, a husband and wife said that we heard your homily, Father, on Sunday on this topic, and we're considering taking our children out of school. We wish that we were to have heard this homily before school started. Well, never too late. But my father, who passed away 5 years ago, had three basically thrusts in his life. Put God first, family, and then education. I think that those should be our first three priorities. Put God first. God number one. Then try to fortify your family, which is the domestic church. Then the importance of education, because what we do depends a lot upon what we think. Our thoughts are turned into decisions. Our thoughts influence our feelings and our actions. Our actions form habits. A good habit is a virtue, a bad habit is a vice. That forms our personality, who we are. And that will determine our eternal destiny, either salvation or damnation. We want to bring our children to heaven. That's why we're here. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? So in my intention, I'd like to pray for you and your children that you would educate them well. My third intention would be, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would make a concerted effort to pray better. That's why we're here in this perseverance class, to try to grow in our faith, but also to be more faithful to our prayer commitment. Venerable Fulton Sheen called it the holy hour, or the hour of power. Give the Lord 1 hour, and he'll bless the other 23 hours of your day. I repeat, give the Lord 1 hour, and he'll bless the other 23 hours of your day. So, I give a short catechesis or a suggestion on prayer almost every day. What I would suggest today is maybe add an extra 2 or 3 minutes to your prayer. We have a tendency to shorten our prayer. Ignatius would say the holy hour is 62 minutes. Because of our tendency to be in a hurry, we tend to be in a hurry. It's very easy for us to say, well, you know, it's 53 minutes, that's good enough. No. He who is faithful in the small will be faithful in the large, our Lord tells us. He is faithful in the small will be faithful also in the large, in the bigger things. And often when we are praying, God will sometimes give us the most abundant graces in the last minute or two. So if we get up and we end our prayer early, the many graces that God was going to give to us the last 2 minutes, we lose those graces. So let's try to be faithful. So those are my prayer intentions for all of us today. Friday is a day in which we should all do some type of penance. You might look at it this way. When we enter into the season of Advent, the gospel reading for Ash Wednesday is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, which our Lord offers us three ways to arrive at a deeper conversion of life. And one would be prayer, another would be penance, another would be almsgiving. So you might see in those three areas, what can you do on this Friday to adding to what maybe what you normally do? Maybe go to Mass. That's the greatest prayer. Penance, give up something at the table that you like. Maybe don't eat meat today. Almsgiving, try to be kind to the people in your family. Try to be kind, loving, meek, compassionate, because charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. So on Fridays, we're called to do penance. Jesus himself said, unless you do penance, then you will perish. Okay, before moving into the readings for today, we finished the book of the prophet Malachi yesterday, just a short excerpt, and we move into another minor prophet, and it's the book of Joel. And then we have the gospel of Jesus expelling devils from Luke chapter 11 and the reaction of the Pharisees to Jesus casting out demons. But related to our topic for the month, this month, my friends, is the month of October. And the month of October is the month of the Holy Rosary. This is the month of the Holy Rosary. So we should do all we possibly can. Do all we possibly can to pray the Rosary, spread the Rosary, propagate the Rosary, love the Rosary, and live the Rosary. Remembering the words of the famous Rosary priest, Father Patrick Peyton, he said, a world at prayer is a world at peace. He also said that the family that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. So related to our topics today, Joel has presented the priest at prayer, as well as Jesus casting out devils. I'd like to tell you a story. Of the power of prayer, and as well as the power of the Holy Rosary. About 20 years ago, in our parish, we had a wonderful catechist who mentioned to me that she had a nephew. Her nephew was a professional baseball player. Not only that, but he was very, very famous, very good professional baseball player. And the name of the professional baseball player was Mike Sweeney. And I asked the catechist, would it be possible to bring him to the parish to give a talk in a retreat to our confirmation students? And I thought, well, it's not going to be possible because he's so busy. So she contacted him and he said yes. And he came to our parish and he gave a talk to the teenagers. Big, strong, handsome young man. And this is what he said. He gave to all the teenagers a card with a bike on it. And it was a tandem bike. Maybe you know that a tandem bike is a double-seated bike where you can have two people riding on the same bike. And he used that tandem bike image to illustrate his talk. And this is what he said. He said that a few years back, he was not playing well. He was about to be dropped from the Kansas City Royals and, I guess, sent to the minor league. And he was not really living his faith because he was brought up and raised a Catholic. One of his friends talked about the tandem bike, and he showed him this tandem bike image. He said, Mike, look, this is the problem. Is that you're driving the bike, but Jesus is in the back seat. Should be the other way around. You're driving. You're in the front. You got the steering wheels, but you're driving in the wrong direction. Change positions. So he got the drift. And apparently went through a conversion. I imagine he probably found a priest, went to confession, probably came back to the practice of the faith. So providentially, the team didn't drop him that year, but gave him one more chance. So the spring training, he played well. In the regular season, he batted way over 300. This he did for about five seasons, making it to the All-Stars, being one of the best hitters in baseball. And I think one year he was on the top. What he said to the young people is this. We're all on that bike. We're all driving that bike. But sometimes we want to drive and we want to put Jesus in the back seat. A follow-up of this is the following. After he retired, he was having some serious marriage problems with his wife. To the point was they're about to separate, to divorce. Things were not going well at all. He fell upon Father Patrick Peyton and the Rosary Crusade. Father Patrick Peyton, that Irish priest that came to the United States, and his purpose as a priest was basically to get as many families to pray the rosary as possible. To get as many families to pray the rosary as possible. He wanted millions of families to pray the rosary in the United States. He went to the Philippines and he spoke to 3 million Filipinos. So Mike Sweeney decided to pray the rosary with his wife and his family was saved. So he attributed the salvation of his family to the praying of the daily rosary. One last idea in the conversion of this athlete who's a model for young people today because of his love for God, love for his family, and his work ethic. Because of his love for the young people, his family, and his desire to help young people to get on the right path. I don't know the details of this, but he opened up a baseball camp in San Diego. It's a Catholic baseball camp for teenagers, which is done during the summer. And there's a chaplain, a priest, and there's a mass, and there's prayer. So those who go to this camp, they're learning how to play baseball, they're having fun with each other, but also they're going to daily mass and they have a priest chaplain to be with them. So all of this is related, my friends, to the importance of prayer and as well as the importance of prayer, but also the great importance of the Holy Rosary. Now one last thing, because today we encounter Jesus in the Bible with the devil. I've preached this many, many times, as well as the other Oblate Fathers here. Because our charism is to try to get people to love the Blessed Mother. Right now I'm on a Marian mission in Baldwin Park for 5 weeks. And my Marian mission is to get the people to read through the Fatima message and get to know the children of Fatima. And Our Lady of Fatima said, appearing to the children for 6 months, to pray the rosary. She said it 6 times. Now, you've probably heard a priest preaching, teaching, encouraging, exhorting you to pray the rosary. Probably several times. And this probably pricked your conscience in such a way that you felt, well, you know, what Father is saying is true and I really have to implement what I'm hearing. You maybe tried to do it a couple of times, but all hell seems to break loose and your children resist. Let me give it up. That is one of the, I think, one of the most clear manifestations of the devil working in family lives. In this sense, that you tell your family you're going to pray the rosary maybe at 8:30 at night, and all of a sudden, you've got your husband and your 3 kids. Your oldest son says, I can't now because I have homework due. The daughter says, I've got to prepare for an exam. The younger daughter says, I've got a stomach ache now. Your husband says, I've got to watch the Dodgers game. So, you have all these oppositions from every family member, and this happens day after day, and you give up praying the rosary. Okay, these objections which you had from your 3 children and your husband, these thoughts, these objections, let me tell you, they're all from the devil. They're all from the devil. Because the baseball game is going to last 4 hours. Your children have probably already wasted that evening an hour and a half on the phone doing things irrelevant to their studies. And your youngest one, later on that evening, is going to get some ice cream from the refrigerator, even though her stomach is bothering her. These are all specious reasonings or lies from the devil. Because the devil knows. The devil knows that if the family prays the rosary, the family's going to get to heaven. The devil has a mortal fear of the rosary. But not simply a rosary that you hold in your hand or you wear around your neck. The rosary is made to be a war weapon. We've got to fight against the devil, the flesh, and the world. We have to wield our arm. We are living, my friends, in very difficult times. We're living in very, very difficult times. I like to compare the rosary. I like to compare the rosary that you see right here to what happened with David against Goliath. You remember that Goliath challenged David to a battle. Goliath was a huge giant with armor, with a shield bearer, with a huge crescent sword, breathing threats of murder. David was small, no experience, no shield, no armor, no armor bearer. He only had a small slingshot with a few stones in his pocket. So he rushed to the battlefield and he shot one of those stones, which riveted in the head, the forehead of the big giant. He cascaded to the ground. There he lay in the dust, unconscious. And David got up. He wielded the sword of the huge giant Goliath, and he thereby decapitated this giant. He cut his head off. Victory. Here we have, my friends, our spiritual slingshot. This is our spiritual slingshot. And there are many, many Goliaths out there today. Many Goliaths that are out there today. So in this month, is a time in which we really have to pray the rosary. John Paul II, in his apostolic letter, 2002, said to pray the rosary for world peace as well as for the sake of the family. And as Father Patrick Peyton says, the family that prays together stays together. Now I invite all of you to see the movie, which is Pray. Pray. And it's the movie of Father Patrick Peyton. He had a very, very serious lung problem. And a priest said there's two options. Either they're going to have to do a painful operation, you're going to have to cut through your chest and dig into your lungs to unblock your lungs, or to pray. What do you prefer? Father Patrick said, I prefer to pray. So he prayed to the Blessed Mother, and he felt there was a movement in his chest. When they did x-rays the following day, they found nothing wrong with his lungs. So that moment on, he decided, because Mary has saved my life, I will promote the rosary. So So he decided a rosary crusade, and he tried to promote the rosary the rest of his life. He spoke to 3 million Filipinos. And most important, he went to Hollywood, and Father Patrick Peyton in Hollywood. So that he could make the movie from the family theater on the Holy Rosary. So he got some of the best actors in Hollywood to act to make the movie on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary. The joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. This was before the luminous mysteries came into existence from John Paul II. That was his purpose. In following in the footsteps of Father Patrick Peyton, I'd like to do the same. With you, my friends, in this Perseverance family, I would really like, with your help, let's try to promote the rosary. Yes, there have been many rosary crusades. Yes, there have been novenas, 54 days, this and that, true. But once again, I'd like, with our Perseverance family, let's try to do all we can to pray the rosary, to promote the rosary, to give out rosaries, to give out rosary pamphlets, to get families to pray the rosary, get parishes to pray the rosary. Let's do all we possibly can to get as many rosaries prayed as possible. Because it's through the intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary and consecration to her Immaculate Heart that this world will be brought back to Christ. It's true. It's through consecration to Mary and her Immaculate Heart and the Rosary that there will be an epoch of peace. Mary is. The Blessed Mother is, Mary is, the quickest, the shortest, the easiest, and the most efficacious pathway to Christ. And as St. Louis de Montfort points out, he who does not have Mary as mother does not have God as father. I repeat that, St. Louis de Montfort. He who does not have Mary as mother does not have God as father. So given that we're in the month of October, which is the month of the Rosary, you're going to hear me during some of my talks this month of October trying to get us motivated more and more to pray the rosary, but also to become apostles of the rosary. It's one thing to pray the rosary, but try to get as many people to pray the rosary as possible. All right. So the first reading in the Mass today is taken from another one of the prophets, and this is a prophet Joel. And actually this reading is actually taken from, it's actually read, part of this is read on Ash Wednesday as we enter into the season of Lent. And it's first directed to priests. So I'd like to explain what I believe to be one of the key messages of this first reading. I repeat, this is a reading. You hear part of this reading on Ash Wednesday as we enter into the holy season of Lent. And the Word of God teaches us this. Gird yourselves and weep, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Gird yourselves and weep, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. The house of your God is deprived of offering and libation. Proclaim a fast. Call an assembly. Gather the elders, all who dwell in the land, into the house of the Lord your God, and cry to the Lord. Alas, the day, for near is the day of the Lord, and it comes as ruin from the Almighty. So, the Word of God is addressed to we as priests who are called to go before the altar and to weep, to wear sackcloth, the call to fasting. Why? Because the people of God have abandoned following God. How can we apply this to us? Well, we as priests, we are called to be the ministers of God. And what is the role of the priest? Well, there are various definitions. St. Augustine calls the priest Alter Christus. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5, which is a very priestly book, says that the priest is called to offer sacrifices to God for sins, for the sins of his people and for his own sins. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen says that the priest is called to be the victim who offers up the victim. He's called to be the victim who offers up the victim. So the priest is called to offer sacrifices to the Eternal Father, begging pardon and reparation for the many sins of the world. But I'd like to connect the priesthood. I belong, there's two types of priesthood. There is what is called the ministerial priesthood, then there is the common priesthood of the faithful. This is expressed very well in the documents of Vatican II. The ministerial priesthood means the priest that has the sacraments of holy orders. And he has this indelible character in his soul which came in the moment of ordination. But then there is also, my friends, what is called the common priesthood of the faithful. And that's you people who are with me, you lay people. So you're called to offer up sacrifices with a priest. Once you're baptized, you're anointed by the minister as priest, prophet, and king, the common priest of the faithful. So what you're called to do, united with the priest, is to place your intentions on the altar. So when the priest lifts up the host in the chalice, once consecrated, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, your offerings are elevated to God the Father. So I'd like to do right now with you, living out this first reading from the book of the prophet Joel, very powerful reading. I'd like to teach you how to live this out, living out your common priesthood of the faithful. So, next time you go to Mass, maybe some of you go to Mass later on today or in the evening, you can already prepare yourself for Mass with me right now by carrying out what is called an offertory, placing on the altar right now these prayers to the Lord. And your prayer petitions can be many, but today, related to the first reading on Friday, petitions of reparation for our many sins, as well as the sins of the world. And I'd like to highlight five today that we can place on the altar. And I'll be celebrating Mass in the evening. You can unite yourself with me. The first is this: we want to, with the reading today, to weep with the priests and offer up prayer and penance for the many abortions that are carried out. Like about 4,000 a day in the United States. That's a lot. Since Roe v. Wade, a good 62 million abortions have been carried out. That's a lot. Woman called Patrick Madrid the other day and said, why do you keep harping upon the topic of abortion? And Patrick Madrid pointed out, well, we've got 4,000 abortions every day. We have to keep reminding people that this is a very, very serious moral matter that has to be spoken about, it has to be preached. We have to do reparation for this. Well done. Whether you like it or not, my friends, this is the key moral issue in our country. Only God has a right to give life, and only God has a right to take life away. I was watching YouTube, a woman actress was yelling out, let us do with our bodies whatever we want. Let us do with our bodies whatever we want. But that's wrong, because it's not your body. It's in your body, but it's a separate body created by God himself, and only God can give life, and only God can take life away. God is the author and origin of life, and we have to be stewards and defenders of life at all times, in all places. So, you exercising your common priesthood of the faithful with a ministerial priesthood, you place on the altar right now your intention, to offer up reparation for the innocent blood of babies that are being shed far and wide. Very interesting, the connection, because abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. And what do we have in the holy sacrifice of the Mass? We have the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, a very good prayer to prepare for Mass or to give thanksgiving after Mass is the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Which we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. In atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. That is the first. That is the first intention. In atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. We say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. The second intention I believe is this. And we're uniting ourselves with the reading, gird yourselves and weep, O priests, wail, O ministers of the altar, come spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of God. It's a totally different prayer of reparation, but equally important. If we look at the church today, and we look at the church 50 or 60 years ago, there's a radical change. In this sense, that 50, 60 years ago, the churches were packed. Probably 80 to 85% of Catholics went to Mass every Sunday, at least 80%. Now what do we have? We have probably a good 80% of the Catholics today don't even go to church. Don't even go to church on Sunday. So what is our point here? Our point is that We have to offer up prayers of reparation for the sins of the many Catholics who have walked away from the Catholic Church. One of the greatest sufferings of God is in religious indifference. That's true. Is religious indifference. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, points out, saying, you are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. Very, very strong language. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I will spew you, vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus said, if you can look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the background in my studio. Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Ella Cook, He said, behold the heart that loves so much but has received only indifference, ingratitude in return. Console my heart. So as we prepare for Mass and we live out this first reading, offering up prayers of reparation, we want to repair for the many abortions that have been carried out in our country as well as the whole world. But also we'd like to offer up prayers of reparation for the indifference, coldness, ingratitude manifested toward our Lord in the Mass and the Blessed Sacrament. So here's a second act of reparation we can make. The third would be what I mentioned in our initial prayer over the past few weeks. And that is the transgender LGBT agenda that's being forced upon our children in schools. Jesus said, scandals must enter into the world, they will. But woe to those who scandalize these innocent ones. Better for them to have a millstone around his neck and to be cast into the depths of the sea, rather than to scandalize one of these innocent ones. So there's the third act of reparation we'd like to make. Reparation for the scandalizing of the innocent children. Fourth act of reparation would be this. We should beg the Lord pardon for our sins as priests, bishops, ministers, to offer up a Mass and communion reparation for the many times that we've failed to live up to our sublime calling. Pray that we'd start to imitate, more and more those saintly priests, the Curia of Ars, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint John Bosco, Saint Thomas Aquinas, all of these saintly priests that have left such a great example for us, that we would imitate them. And then the last act of reparation we should make would be for ourselves and for our own family. If you go to confession frequently, even though the priest may not give this to you as a penance, the priest might not give this to you as a penance, one of the best things you can do to repair for your past sins and to prevent future sins would be for you to offer up your Mass and your communion in reparation for the sins of your family members, as well as to offer up the Mass and communion in reparation for your own personal sins. So what I'm trying to do today, connecting this with our first reading, is that the word says, gird yourselves and weep, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Come spend the night in sackcloth. O ministers of my God, the house of your God is deprived of offering and libation. Proclaim a fast. Call an assembly. Gather the elders. That is, the prophet Joel is calling priests to come and to offer prayers and tears and sacrifices and fastings and oblations and libations. So we, as part of the mystical body of Christ, part of the people of God, we also are called to offer up our tears, our prayers, our sacrifices, our acts of reparation. If you do this, my friends, by really living out Mass, by preparing yourself by Mass, is what I'm really doing now. I'm preparing you for Mass. Maybe you can't go today. Maybe this is a preparation for your Mass on Sunday. But the more that we can offer to God by living out our common priesthood of the faithful and placing this on the altar, the more graces will come upon us as well as the whole world. So I'd like, my friends, to give you, with great joy, I'd like to give you my priestly blessing, and let's try to live out. Let's try to pray the rosary on a daily basis. We're in the month of October. Let's try to live out to the fullest extent possible our Catholic Christian faith. Let's try to live out to the fullest extent possible our own priestly role in the mystical body of Christ. So I will give you my priestly blessing right now. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary, and all God's angels and saints, may God bless you in a very special way today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.